From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text found in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Churlish souls stint their contributions to the ministry and missionary operations, and call such saving good economy. Little do they dream that they are thus impoverishing themselves. Their excuse is that they must care for their own families. They forget that to neglect the house of God is the sure way to bring ruin upon their own houses. Our God has a method in providence by which He can succeed our endeavors beyond our expectation, or can defeat our plans to our confusion and dismay. By a turn of His hand, He can steer our vessel in a profitable channel, or run it aground in poverty and bankruptcy. It is the teaching of Scripture that the Lord enriches the liberal and leaves the miserly to find out that withholding tendeth to poverty. In a very wide sphere of observation, I have noticed that the most generous Christians of my acquaintance have been always the most happy and almost invariably the most prosperous. I have seen the liberal giver rise to wealth of which he never dreamed, and I have as often seen the mean, ungenerous churl descend to poverty by the very parsimony by which he thought to rise. Men trust good stewards with larger and larger sums, and so it frequently is with the Lord. He gives by cartloads to those who give by bushels. Where wealth is not bestowed, the Lord makes the little much by the contentment which the sanctified heart feels in a portion of which the tithe has been dedicated to the Lord. Selfishness looks first at home, but godliness seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yet in the long run, selfishness is loss, and godliness is great gain. It needs faith to act towards our God with an open hand, but surely He deserves it of us, and all that we can do is a very poor acknowledgement of our amazing indebtedness to His goodness.
All your commandments lead all of my heart. From all you've required, I'll never depart. From all deep sinful passions, I'll gladly
Lord, with all, yes, all of my heart.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues this series of studies in the law of God, today Dr. Cairns comes to deal with the third commandment, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If ever a commandment of God suffers from neglect and disobedience, it is this one. Yet God's name reveals who he is and what he is, all his attributes, his total nature. As we'll see, to take God's name in vain means a number of things. To use it falsely, or to promote a false cause, as well as to use it in a frivolous way, as though it meant nothing. Both the ungodly and professing Christians alike are guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. Yet God attaches a stern warning to this commandment, for he says, The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now to introduce this message on the third commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Leviticus chapter 24, a brief passage from verse 10 through to verse 16. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. Notice that the words of the Lord are italicized. The Hebrew scriptures simply say, the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. In our continuing study of the law of God, and now particularly of the Ten Commandments, we come to a text in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, which gives us the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Few commandments of God are more frequently transgressed or more contemptuously and universally transgressed than this one. Indeed, so hardened have men become to this part of God's law that they break the third commandment and hardly even recognize that they have taken the Lord's name in vain. This has become one of the most popular, not to say accepted, forms of speech in the language today. Now, obviously, when you read this commandment, the primary reference must be to any ungodly way of using the Lord's name in speech. The Jews so feared that they would abuse the Lord's name in their speech that they came up with an interpretation of Leviticus 24:16, which forbade any Jew to frame the name Jehovah. I remember speaking to a Jewish guide, showing him the Hebrew word Jehovah, asking him, how would a Jew pronounce that? Because, as you know, there is an ongoing debate as to whether the name should be Yahweh, the invention of modernists for the fire god of Sinai, or Jehovah, the covenant god of Israel. And he looked at me, he said, we can't pronounce that name. And then he said, if I were reading that as a word, I would read it Jehovah. but we can't pronounce the name. The fact of the matter is, however, that despite that embargo, the Jews continued to take the name of the Lord in vain. And that will show that the commandment here is much wider than some way of speaking of the name Jehovah. Now, if we're going to grasp the meaning of the text, we've got to understand exactly what we mean by taking in vain. What do these terms mean? To take the Lord's name in vain, if you were to take the Hebrew words, they're very simple, straightforward words, but if you were to take them and lay out all the possible meanings of those words, you would come to understand that to take the Lord's name in vain is to lift up that name, to bring it forth, to use it either falsely or as a falsehood or in some evil cause. Or it could be to use it in an empty or frivolous way. To use the name of the Lord in any way that counts that name as vanity, as emptiness, a nothing, a non-entity. Any way of using the Lord's name falsely, to promote a false cause, frivolously or in any empty or vain fashion, does count the name of God as a mere non-entity. Nothing much to be counted of. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. We must understand that the word name does include all the proper names: Jehovah, Lord, God, the Most High, the Almighty. But it also includes His titles as Creator, as Savior, Redeemer, and Shepherd. It includes His very attributes, because He says that I am the High and the Lofty One who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. It includes also His total nature, because the Lord Himself said of the coming Messiah, "My name shall be in Him." Speaking of the very nature of deity. When we turn to the 8th Psalm, the first verse, we read, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the heavens and all the earth. Thou hast set Thy glory above the heavens." In other words, the name of God here is equivalent to the revelation of God which He has given us, and the reputation of that name given to us through all that the Lord has said and done. So when you read about taking the Lord's name in vain, it is not, as the Jews vainly imagined, simply using the name Jehovah. The name is anything relating to the true God, to His being, His nature, His will, His works, His worship. Anything relating to the service of the true God, or to the doctrine concerning Him. All that pertains to His name. The Lord Himself makes this clear. How does He define prayer and worship? He defines it as calling on His name. How does He describe His people? He describes them as those who are called by My name, or upon whom My name is called, or as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, who call upon the name of the Lord. So this use of the name in worship indicates that we're dealing more than with the mere use of the word Jehovah. We're dealing with God as He has revealed Himself in His entirety in Scripture. You can immediately see that this gives a much wider scope to the third commandment than many people have yet realized. We can all see the fundamental meaning of the commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Malachi 2 verse 2 gives you a clear summary, or indeed commentary in that. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. That's plainly the fundamental meaning. But many people fail to see the full force of this commandment. The Shorter Catechism sums it up, I think, in a very simple, but in a very scriptural way. The third commandment forbids something, and the third commandment requires something. It forbids all profaning and abusing of anything whereby God makes Himself known. Now understand, that's the meaning of the name in Scripture. The third commandment forbids the profaning and abusing of anything whereby God makes Himself known. And on the other hand, it positively requires the holy and reverent use of God's name, His titles, His attributes, His ordinances, His will, and His works. And any breach of this commandment is a very serious matter. Men think very lightly of taking the Lord's name in vain. But God doesn't. Men pass over this carelessly. I was reading of a case in Britain not very long ago where a blasphemy law was invoked. You must understand that under British law, blasphemy is still a crime, though the law is very rarely invoked. And by definition, blasphemy can only be committed against the God of the Bible. And when a man was brought before the court on that law, the London Times, perhaps the most prestigious newspaper in Europe, has stated that the modern Englishman is philosophically incapable of understanding the crime of blasphemy. Men carelessly pass this over, but God says He will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 58 and 9, he says, if thou wilt not observe to do the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. In other words, the Lord will visit you with amazing plagues of judgment. And he says they will be of long continuance. Clearly then, we should understand the scope and the application of the prohibition and the precept in the third commandment. Let me sum it all up very simply for you, what this commandment is all about. The Lord demands, let me emphasize the word, the Lord demands that we give Him the glory that is due to His name. And He threatens judgment on all wicked or frivolous insults to that name.
¶¶
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.